Well, welcome back to our study of Judges. We're going to begin in chapter 7. Then Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him, rose up early and pitched beside the wall of Herod, and so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, my own hand has saved me. Now therefore go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down unto the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So he brought down the people unto the water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, every one that lappeth of the water with his tongue, as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, every one that boweth down upon his knee to drink. And the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men, but all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water.
Okay. Now I want you to think about this. Here you have all these armies gathered together, Gideon, a large number. Gideon gets his answer from God to go out against them. And so once he gets his answer, he takes his army and they camp by the well of Herod. And the Lord said to him, you have too many people with you. Your army's too big. Now, if you do the math on this, you'll find he has 32,000 going against these other people. A vast host. And the Lord said, tell everybody in the army that is afraid, go ahead and go home. Now, I want you to listen to this. 22,000 left to go home, afraid to fight. This is what's wrong with people today. This is what's wrong with the Christians today. And I'm not talking about physically fighting. I'm talking about spiritual warfare and all. People don't want to fight. Even in the natural, you know, people, you know, they don't want you to fight. They don't want you to go to war. Just everybody live peaceably. Well, that'd be all right if everybody wanted to live peaceably. So how are you going to live peaceably with the people that want to kill you? And so we have to learn that we have to defend ourselves God's way. Not man's way, but God's way. Okay? So 22,000 of these soldiers go home. Well, that leaves him with 10,000. But what's that against these other countries? Their armies. And yet, after they all left, the Lord said, you have too many people. Now, I make you scratch your head. You're a military guy, you know. The Lord said, let's take them down and let me put them to the test. And I'm going to put them to the test, and those who pass the test are the ones that I'm going to use to defeat these Midianites and Malachites and all. And so they take him down to the water. There's the lap like a dog. And then she's read it. Okay, you've read it, I hope. 300. Now send the 9,700 back home. Man. I got 300 people. And I'm going to fight all these people. I mean, you know, that's pretty significant. But I want you to see something here. Many are called, but few are chosen. Okay? God handpicking, God selecting. The body of Christ are selected. They're chosen. They're chosen out of all these religious systems. You understand? The various denominations and all this. God is hand-picking people. You have to come out of following man's way to do things my way. You understand? And it's a minority. It's a minority that wants to follow God. The majority want to go with the flow. They don't want to rock the boat. And so God is having them to pass the test. Every one of us will go through testing. And you have to prove yourself faithful. You have to prove yourself to God. Can I pass God's test? Well, what does that mean? Can I or will I do things God's way? I can tell you right now, the natural mind would think it's absurd to take 300 men and go against thousands of soldiers. But if that's what God says to do, then that's what you do. You think about how Peter and John have been put in jail because they've been preaching that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. And while they're in jail, the angel of the Lord springs them out and says, now I want you to go and tell people this message, preach the gospel. They're back in the temple the next day preaching. Now, I mean, you know, it's against the law to escape jail. And then you're going to go back and do what you got put in jail for in the first place. God's way. God's way. How many will do things God's way? And we have a choice. Are we going to stay with status quo? Or are we going to follow the Spirit of God? We had to follow the Spirit of God to even be here today. You understand? If we would have followed status quo, we would have still been in a particular denomination, just dancing to their music, whatever, doing what they say to do. And you know what you do? You just stop your spiritual growth. That's as far as you're going. You won't fulfill the purpose of God. You're going to have to step out of your comfort zone to fulfill the will and purpose of God. I'll guarantee you Gideon was out of his comfort zone. God knows what he's doing. We just think we do. So we have to learn to follow the Spirit of God. And if God says, you have too many, you have too many. Isn't it amazing how out of all the thousands that would follow Jesus, that he picked 12 to represent him, and one of them fell by the wayside, right? I'm talking about Judas. So he's depending upon these that the world would not have selected. You're going to get tax collector, IRS agent, you're going to get him to represent the Lord. You're going to get these fishermen out here representing the Lord. Hey, listen, they didn't go to Bible college. Right? Isn't that what they said about John? The ignorant, unlearned men. It's not where they went to school, it's who they'd been with. And they took notice that they had been with Jesus. That's what matters. God is selecting those who will walk with Him, and to walk with Him, you're going to have to walk out of the world. Now think about Enoch, who walked with God and was not. When we are led by the Spirit of God, then that flesh carnality ceases to be. You walk with God and then you are not. He is. Isn't that what Paul says in Galatians 2:20? I'm crucified with Christ. I'm not. But I'm living, but it's not me. The life that I'm living now, it's Jesus living in me. What does He say? This is the walk of God. Did He dare to be different? Absolutely. Did He have to come out? Absolutely. Was He popular with the religious people? Absolutely not. Not in a positive way. He could create a right wherever He went, you understand, with religious people. Learn to do it God's way. Are you afraid? Go home. Isn't that what He said? Now go down here, let me see how you drink your water. Let me see how you quench your thirst. You going to do it my way? You follow me? There's a lot to all this. But God's hand picking. I believe God is hand picking. I believe that's the way He's always operated. He hand picks. He'll call the multitude, the invitations out. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. But the world doesn't represent God, does it? So He selects those who will do it His way. Get the picture? Okay.
Verse 7, and the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped, I will save ye, and deliver the Midianites into thine hand, and will let all the other people go, every man unto his place.
Now, I think about Romans 4 here when I look at this. I'm going to save you and deliver these Midianites into your hand. I mean, know that's a tremendous promise. To a man that's looking at thousands and he has 300. But I think about Abraham. He considered not the circumstances. He did not stagger at the promise God gave him. Because he was fully persuaded that what God said to him, God would bring to pass. Do you know this is what Gideon's practicing right here? He's not considering the circumstances because God's made him a promise and he's not staggering at the magnitude of that promise. And why? He's fully persuaded that God's going to be good for His word. Okay? We have to get that principle established on the inside of us. To where we stop looking at circumstances and look at God. The 10 spies looked at circumstances. Joshua and Caleb looked at God. Circumstances kept them out of the promised land. Joshua and Caleb went in because they didn't stagger at what God said. They were fully persuaded if He said, go possess it, they could possess it. And they did. And we have to do the same thing as born-again believers.
So Gideon had the Rhema word, the spoken word of God. And because that word, this instruction was spoken to him, he had the faith to move, right? How does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God.
Hearing God speak.
Hearing God speak. And so you think about, we've been talking about faith and moving at God's direction. It's not the same thing to read the Word of God and hope and wish that's going to come true for you. He has to speak it to your heart. And when He speaks it to your heart, then you have the revelation. Once you've got that revelation, then you are fully persuaded. So you don't consider. You do exactly what He tells you to do. Does that make sense? God spoke this word to Gideon, and we're going to find out later he's going to support them in this. Go listen to this conversation. That's going to help you too. Verse 8. So the people took
victuals.
Man, that word gets me. So the people took victuals in their hand and their trumpets, and he sent all the rest of Israel, every man unto his tent, and retained those 300 men, and the host of Midian was beneath him in the valley. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, Arise, get thee down unto the host, for I have delivered it unto thy hand. But if thou fear to go down, go thou with Purah, thy servant, down to the host, and thou shalt hear what they say, and afterward shall thy hands be strengthened to go down unto the host. Then went he down with Purah his servant unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for multitude. And their camels were without number, as the sand by the seaside for multitude.
Think about that. You're getting a picture of how big their army is? 300 men.
Well. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow, and said, Behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian, and came into a tent, and smote it, that it fell, and overturned it, that the tent lay along. And his fellow answered and said, This is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel, for into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host.
Now to me, this is pretty incredible. God is saying to Gideon, the Lord is working with him along the way, building his confidence, okay? If you're still afraid with these 300 going against these that look like grasshoppers on the side of a field, go down to the camp, take your servant with you, and just go down to the camp and eavesdrop. Gather a little intelligence. So they go down and they hear one of these men, this is the enemy, telling another one, I dreamed last night. Yeah. And then the other guy, you know, he talks about the load destroying the team. The other guy says, this is the interpretation. Now listen to this. He called Gideon by name. The interpretation of this dream is Gideon is going to destroy us. He's going to defeat us. That's the essence of it. Bottom line, cutting through, you know, a lot of the dialogue there. But he says, God has delivered Midian and all the host into the hand of Gideon. Now, if you're going into the enemy's camp and you hear the enemy say that, that ought to encourage you, shouldn't it? Well, it did.
And it was so, when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped and returned into the host of Israel and said, Arise, for the Lord hath delivered it into your hand, the host of Midian.
Now, that's confidence.
Yes.
Now, all right, let's get up and go, boys. 300, We're going to wipe them out.
And he divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers.
Now, hold on. Wait a minute. Where's my weapon? We're going against the enemy that's armed and a trumpet. That's going to give away my position. And a torch, a light. You don't want to light a light in the presence of the enemy, you understand. And a pitcher. What unusual weapons to win a battle. It's not reasonable. No, you can't win a battle doing that. It's what the natural mind will tell you. That's why he selected men who would stand their ground. Now, you've got to get a picture of this. As you know, you have 300 men divided up into three companies, 100 per company, right? All right, 300, we're going to surround the thousands. We're going to ambush these guys, you know. And we're going to do it with a trumpet and a lamp. You better be confident in your God. You understand? His ways are higher than our ways, aren't they? Because this is unreasonable. So you can't have men relying on the flesh. They have to be relying on the Word of God. And the problem today is people aren't relying on the Word of God. They're relying on flesh. They want to use conventional weapons rather than spiritual weapons. Okay? You have to do it God's way.
This is so significant. We want you to remember it for the test. It's going to be a multiple choice test question. The weapons of war used by the Israeli army who initially went out against the Midianites were a trumpet, a torch, and a pitcher. We want y'all to remember that. And we also want you to remember how many soldiers were initially used in the defeat of the Midianites. Do you remember how many? 300.
Now, the key there is in the initial.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The ones that brought confusion to the camp to the point that the enemy fled. Now, there were others involved. Remember the armies that they sent back? All right, there's others get involved on the tail end of this. Okay?
Verse 17, and he said unto them, look on me, and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. When I blow with the trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of the camp, and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon.
Now, note this. Look at me. That's what he's saying. Gideon, the leader, is look at me. Not do what I tell you to do, but follow the leader. Right? So, what you see me do, you do. Now, here it says, you know, surround the enemy with 300 men. Now, when you see me blow the trumpet or hear me, then you do the same thing. When I break the pitcher to where the light is now exposed, you do the same thing. Don't move. Now, I've got a visual of this. And it's like here you are in combat. So you blow the trumpet, break the pitcher that's covering the light, and there you are, and you stand still. It don't move. And the enemy is going wild, and you don't move. You stand your ground. You understand, they didn't have to take a sword and fight. The enemy was confused with themselves. Go ahead and read. I might be getting ahead of you.
That's okay. So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came unto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch. And they had but newly set the watch. And they blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers that were in their hands. And the three companies blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers and held the lamps in their hands and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal. And they cried, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." And they stood, every man in his place, round about the camp, and all the host ran and cried and fled. And the 300 men blew the trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the host. And the host fled to Bethshittah in Zerareth, and to the border of Belmaholah, unto Tabith, and the men of Israel gathered themselves together out of Naphtali, and out of Asher, and out of Manasseh, and pursued after the Midianites.
All right, you get the picture of this? They didn't need a sword. The enemy, so confused, they start killing one another. But note the men standing their ground. Torch in one hand, trumpet in the other hand. Blowing that trumpet. Now, you know, just thinking from a military perspective, I mean, that's going to give you position away. If a trumpet and a light won't give you position away, I don't know what will. But God used that to bring confusion to the enemy's camp. I think of the voice, the trumpet. Put the trumpet to your mouth. In other words, speak the word of God. And I think of the light as the illumination of the Word of God. You speak the Word, you illuminate. God's Word, that illumination of the Word of God will confuse the enemy. You understand? And so the enemy turns on itself. And now, the rest of these people that had left, now they gather together. The enemy's running for their life. And so now these other tribes are coming in and chasing the enemy and destroying the ones that haven't destroyed themselves, okay?
It's amazing to me the confidence those men had in the leader that they were following to stand and not move. Because what's the inclination? When there's chaos going on, I would think the first inclination is, let's move, let's get out of here, let's do something. But standing still in the midst of chaos takes control, doesn't it? We have to be so confident in the Lord that we're willing to stand still in the midst of chaos. You think about, what did Jesus do in the midst of a storm? He was asleep. We have to be so assured of the Holy Spirit on the inside of us when He's speaking to us that we're willing to either move or not move. We're willing to either keep our mouth shut or speak when we're told to. There's a discipline that comes with that. It took discipline and control for those men to stand still.
I guarantee you there's a tremendous discipline involved. I've had it said to me by a Christian, do something if it's wrong. I said, well, that'd be stupid. Why would I want to do something and I think it's going to be wrong? You understand? You're creating more problems. And this is the problem with people. They want to react rather than get a plan of action. Many of you know Jesus knew Judas was stealing money out of the treasure. He knew Judas was going to betray him. Church today would excommunicate him, take him to court. Jesus let him run his course. That took a real discipline to know the man's stealing our money, but not calling him into question over it. You understand? I used to hear this a lot. Give a man enough rope and he'll hang himself. Well, that's literally what happened with Judas. You understand? You give him, you give him, you give him. He'll self-destruct. You with me? So we have to learn to do things God's way, not to take matters in our hands, not to do something that we're not supposed to do. When God said, or Gideon says to his men, blow the trumpet, hold the light, and stay where you are. Don't go after them. Stay where you are. And people have such fighting spirits today. I just heard a guy bashing another minister. And then this minister, someone interviewed him, and he said, I'm not going to go there. My paraphrase, okay. Because then that would just fuel the fire, and I will not defend myself. I'll let God defend me. You've got to learn not to pay attention to what other people are saying. Hold your peace and let God fight your battles. And if He has you doing something, if He speaks to your heart, do what He says. But don't you just go against something that's come against you. I've had the Lord to tell me, don't say a word. Keep your mouth shut. But Lord, it's not fair. Keep your mouth shut. How many of you know that keeping your mouth shut may be one of the hardest things you ever do in your life? But if that's what the Lord tells you to do, that's the way to win the battle. And I can tell you that that was a win on my part, but it didn't seem like it at the time. You understand? But it ultimately ended up in a win. You have to do it God's way. And you have to, obviously, trust the leadership. I was thinking as Heather was talking about these men trusting Gideon, he had given them a reason to trust. Here's a guy who had risked his life to tear down the idol of Baal. So he wasn't just some wimpy little knotty-kneed guy, you understand. He was a guy with guts. Well, I said, well, I'm going to follow. Not the guy that's saying, you go ahead. But the guy that'll go ahead of you. I was thinking about a situation in Vietnam. We were out on patrol and we were looking for to make contact with the enemy. And we just kept circling. And I said one of the guys, the squad leader was not the smartest guy in the world when it came to combat anyway. I said, we're wasting our time. The only way we're going to find the person is we're going to have to go in. I mean, we're talking about heavy undergrowth. We're going to have to flush him out. He said to the to the leader, to the patrol leader, he said, "You're going to have to flush him out, and if I'm going to know, we'll go in." And then he took me by the back, and he pushed me in front of him. You understand? Wading through jungle garbage way over your head, and you're having to use your rifle to pick, and you're a sitting duck, and you know you're a sitting duck. Not knowing, I mean, the enemy's got the advantage on you. And finally, we didn't make contact. God, somebody was praying for me. And God kept me from getting killed on that deal, you understand? But I think about that. You go in front of me. Yeah. You go in front of me. You go in front of me. You take the first bullet, you know. I'm going to hide behind you. Hopefully it won't go all the way through, right? No, we've got to learn to do things God's way, and you have to trust in the Spirit of God. And if the Spirit of God has moved on a person to lead you, and it's the Spirit of God, then you trust the leadership. Don't second guess the leadership. But follow the leader. But the leader has to do it God's way. Amen. All right, our time's up, so we'll stop there. We'll pick back up with the rest of the story in our next session. Okay. Father, I thank you that you bless us indeed, you enlarge our territory. Your hand's with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up your countenance upon us and you give us peace. So, Lord, we invite you to rise up, let your enemies be scattered, and those who hate you flee before you. Amen. You guys have a great weekend.